Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News. And we have a mailbag episode today. Now, usually with these mailbag episodes, I try to do them every week, and I try to get them in line with when I publish my mailbag on themercurynews.com, which you can read there. This week, I didn't have a mailbag. My boss told me that I had to take an off day. I'm not an off day kind of guy during the season. I usually just like to bank all of them and spend all of my off days in the off season, but whatever. They made me take an off day, so you've got no mailbag online, but you get a mailbag now. And let's get right into it. This first question comes from Twitter, from at RimRunningRagged, who asks, can't the Warriors sign another 10-day in addition to Bender? Why is that spot vacant, and are there any candidates? Now, this question came in before the news that the Warriors plan to sign Michael Mulder to a 10-day contract. Now, Mulder is an interesting guy. There's not a whole lot about him on the internet. He's actually one of the few Warriors players that just doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. I'd be lying if I told you I'd ever watched a minute or a second of this guy, or if I've even heard of him before this morning. But here we are, and this is sort of the lowdown on him. He went undrafted out of Kentucky in 2017 because he was playing behind guys like Jamal Murray, De'Aaron Fox, and Malik Monk. But, you know, he's a 6'3" guard who has spent his career since then in the G League, most recently for the Sioux Falls Skyforce, where he averaged 17 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 1.4 assists in 39 games. And he averaged, he shot almost 40% from three-point range on nearly 10 attempts a game. So that's the main thing here. This guy is obviously a three-point specialist, and the Warriors obviously value that. So the shades of Zach Norvell Jr. here, they're trying out these guards, these three-point shooting guards. Maybe they view that as something that they want off the bench next year. But if he's shooting, man, 40% from three-point range on 10 attempts per game, that's insane. That's a great percentage on an insane volume, even in the G League, which lends me to think that if he hasn't gotten scooped up by now, he's probably really bad at everything else. This guy probably can't defend, can't really do much off the dribble, but maybe you don't have to if you're playing with the Warriors. We'll see. So he's a 25-year-old guy, latest in a round of 10-day contracts. We'll see if he sticks. This next question comes from Alex, who writes in, why the thirst for another star? This team was built. We won before we were a quote-unquote super team. Look, I don't know that there is that thirst for another star from the Warriors. This seems to be a fan-driven thing. I mean, look, I understand that fans are always going, for any team in any sport, are always going to look at a big name and be like, hey, what about that guy? You know, even a guy like Andre Iguodala, who is a big name and not necessarily a great player anymore, Warriors fans really wanted him too. And so there's always going to be a little bit of more, right? And I do think that this other star thing is being driven by the fans. This idea that they are going to try to go after Giannis, while I think is true, if you're the Warriors and Giannis is an available option, you owe it to yourself to do it. I mean, it is malpractice not to pursue Giannis, right? If and when he becomes available, you have to go for it. If you have an opportunity to upgrade your team in any capacity, whether it's Giannis or just upgrading your bench, you have to do it, okay? So let's not kid ourselves. The Warriors will do that. They don't care about this team being built or however you look at it that way. If you can get a guy like Giannis, you go get a guy like Giannis, period, end of story, okay? I know that there's other guys like Joel Embiid, Bradley Beal that have been mentioned. I don't know about their fits necessarily. But if a guy becomes available that the Warriors think can help the team, they're going to do it. They're not going to worry about, well, did we draft him? Was he part of the culture before we got good? Did he like us before we were cool? Like, no, they don't care about that. They didn't care about that when they got Kevin Durant. And they're not going to care about it now. And if anything, they have more of a reason to care about it, or they have more of a reason to go after another superstar now because Steph's getting older, Klay's getting older, Draymond Green getting older. All these guys have way more mileage than when they signed Kevin Durant, than when they won their first championship. Like, if you want to plan ahead, which this team wants to be doing, right, they just built Chase Center. Steph's not going to be around that much longer. They got to keep selling tickets 15 years from now, 10 years from now. And so if you can get a superstar to go help you do that, I think you just do it. But I also say this. I think the Warriors are pretty content with what they have right now if Giannis doesn't come available, if the next superstar isn't really an option for them. I think they're cool with this. I think they're cool with running out Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins, and assorted parts for the next 4 years and trying to win championships. And by the way, I think they can. I think they can win another title. You look around the league right now, there's not any other super teams. Oh, well, maybe the Lakers are a super team. Are they? They've got LeBron James and Anthony Davis and end of list. The Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George, neither of whom can stay healthy. I don't look at that as a super team. Now, I think there are super duos in the league. You look at Brooklyn with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Good luck with that, by the way. You don't need four guys, three guys anymore. It doesn't look like it. Philadelphia can't figure out their mess. I don't think you need that many guys. I think what we're looking at right now is an era in the NBA where you need kind of two guys, two and a half guys, and a really deep bench. And I think the Warriors are built that way. Now, they've got Steph Curry, who's a top five player, and Klay Thompson isn't to the level that, you know, an Anthony Davis or a Paul George is, but then you kind of add on these complementary pieces like Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins, and that's a better third and fourth guy than I think any of those other teams that I just mentioned have. So you bank on your depth, you bank on your institutional culture, and your coaching with Steve Kerr. And I think that the Warriors could be right up there in the Western Conference and with the other teams in the NBA. It just, depending on what they do on the fringes. Also, they're going to have a couple of really high first-round picks these next 2 years too, which can completely flip things around for them as well if one of those guys pops relatively early. You know, then you're adding another maybe all-star level talent to things. But we'll see how that goes. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. With amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventures, and incredible food, Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. 10 stadiums, 15 Major League Baseball teams, and 75 degree temperatures. If you've ever been to spring training, you know it gives you a great opportunity to meet the players and get autographs before the game. And then after the games, check out the amazing restaurants and bars nearby. Plus, Arizona is known for its incredible landscapes and thrilling outdoor adventures. When you're not at the games, go on hikes, hot air balloon rides, or even skydiving. Or just take in that beautiful Arizona sunset. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. And if you're bringing the kids along, Arizona is a fantastic destination for families with family-friendly resorts and hotels that offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages, from water parks to horseback rides to games and organized activities. So plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. This next question comes from Tom, who writes in, has Eric Paschal's defense improved, and can he fit in the 2020-2021 rotation? I've been getting a lot of questions about Eric Paschal lately, and has his defense improved? Yeah, somewhat. I think as much as you can expect from a rookie, and I do think that they still value his defensive versatility and his ability to just be a big, strong dude out there. That's valuable in and of itself. So I don't know that the issue with Paschal is necessarily his defense. I don't think you're ever going to expect him to switch onto the perimeter and guard other guards at a high level. He still makes rookie mistakes. He still isn't necessarily always in the right spots. He's got some anticipation issues, some rotation issues that he needs to iron out, but that's to be expected. I mean, he's a rookie. That'll get better. I'm not that worried about that, and he'll put the work in. I have no doubt about it. Offensively, I have some concerns with Eric Paschal. Is he a good isolation scorer? Yes. Can you just give him the ball and trust him to go get a bucket at times? Absolutely. He's got a nice little mid-range game. He can shoulder his way to the rim. He can dunk at times. There's a lot to like there, but I do question whether or not he can fit into the Warriors ecosystem once Steph Curry and Klay Thompson come back, because, hey, all this stuff is cool right now when you can go out there and put up 12 shots in a game and you can kind of go 4 or 5 for 12 and you can just isolate and do your thing that way, but that's not going to work. You're not going to be able to dribble 5 or 6 times when Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are on the floor. So that is going to determine where he fits into the rotation. Is he a break in case of emergency type of isolation score that you just bring off the bench when you need him? Or is he, in other words, is he your 8th or 9th or 10th guy? Or can he improve defensively to a respectable level where you can play in crunch time? Can you get more out of him offensively? Can you improve this bad assist to turnover ratio? And can you get him to function within the flow of the offense in a way that now he's all of a sudden maybe your sixth man, your seventh man? That, to me, is where my questions are with Eric Paschal. Will he be in the rotation next year? Absolutely. I don't know where he is in that rotation. I don't know how many minutes he's getting if he's playing this way. If he is playing this way, he's not getting as many minutes as I think a lot of Warriors fans might think. Okay, he's going to suddenly go from 20-plus minutes a game to maybe 10. Okay, but if he can improve that part of the ball, of, you know, the facilitating and the ball movement, all these things. And by the way, the Warriors are aware of all this and they are working on it. Okay, they are actively working on it, and Eric Paschal is working on it. You see differences in the way he plays. Okay, he's much more apt to drive and kick now than he ever was. That's an improvement. And he's going to have to keep improving it. Harbed writes in, do you think Marquese Chriss has a realistic chance of being the Warriors' starting center next season? Also, if he continues to impress the rest of the season, do you think the Warriors will look away from drafting a big with their lottery pick this year? I do think Chriss has a realistic chance of being the Warriors' starting center next year. I actually, in fact, expect him to be the starting center next year. Offensively, he hits all the boxes that you want checked off. He is a great ball handler and facilitator out on the wing. He's a lob threat the way JaVale McGee was. He just creates a lot of easy points on offense. He runs the floor well. He's one of the fastest centers in the NBA. And I think there's a lot to like there. Defensively, I have some concerns. He's gotten so much better on that end, and he will continue to get better on that end. But at the end of the day, he's not that big of a dude. And I don't know if you can trust him ultimately to guard guys like Anthony Davis and Nikola Jokic when it really matters at the end of fourth quarters. And if you're the Warriors, those are the sort of questions you need to be asking yourself. Which one of these guys can help us win in a playoff series against the other best teams in the Western Conference? Now, that's not to say Marquese Chriss doesn't have a spot on this team. I just have some concerns with him defensively. And look, it might be a situation where he is your standard starting center by default, and he gives you 20 minutes a night, 25 minutes a night, and you're giving Kevon Looney, your defensive specialist, the run when you have to get those type of defensive stops. You could do that, and the Warriors have done that, by the way. They've done it with Andrew Bogut, JaVale McGee, all these guys. So I think I expect Chriss to start next year. Looney continues to come off the bench. I just don't think you can trust his body enough at this point to start him, and you can trust Marquese to start him. He's pretty durable. So you bring Looney off the bench for 10-15 minutes a game, and then I think you need one more traditional type 7-footer who can stand up to the Jonas Valanciunases of the world. You know, you're going to play those guys every 4 or 5 games in the league nowadays, and I think you just need that guy in your bullpen for when that comes up. But all that is to say, I think the Warriors are in a pretty good position because of Marquese Chriss's emergence at center. I don't think that they'll look away from drafting a center just because of Marquese Chriss, but I don't think they feel compelled to do that because of Marquese Chriss. Maybe if Chriss never emerged this way, if he never blossomed this season the way he has, maybe the Warriors do just go ahead and hold their nose and draft James Wiseman. But they don't have to do that anymore. So they can address the center position however they want, and Marquese Chriss is 23 years old. They've got a young player there. Kevon Looney, 25. They've got young players at that position. They don't need to draft them. They don't need to draft at that position unless they truly believe that the best player available plays that position, and I think that's the way they're going to approach it. Horrible Hux on Twitter writes in, if Kevin Durant never comes to the Warriors and Harrison Barnes stays, how many titles do the Warriors still get? Look, I love hypotheticals. This is right up my alley, so let's just go in. I've heard this question, concern, a lot from Warriors fans. Hypothetically posed about, look, they only won 2 championships with Kevin Durant. Would they have won 2 championships with Harrison Barnes and still have had Harrison Barnes, not had to have gone through the D'Angelo Russell sign and trade? You would have Barnes right now instead of Andrew Wiggins. You wouldn't have had to go through all those hoops and ladders, and you wouldn't have had to deal with the drama that they dealt with last season that may have ultimately lost them the NBA Finals. I don't think that's the case, and I don't know that they win 2. That LeBron James Cavaliers team, that first year with Kevin Durant, that first year when the Warriors had Kevin Durant was a really good team. I mean, historically great offensively, good enough defensively. I don't think they win that finals series if they have Harrison Barnes instead of Kevin Durant. Let's remember how good Kevin Durant was in those finals. Harrison Barnes doesn't do those things. Harrison Barnes wasn't good in the finals. That's why they mostly because it was Kevin Durant, partly because I don't think they trusted Barnes in those situations. I mean, Durant guarded LeBron James. He allowed Draymond Green to play center in death lineups more than he probably should have, because a lot of times it was Kevin Durant playing center in those lineups. I mean, his rim protection was amazing. I often said he was, when he was playing like that, he was probably the best center in the NBA. So I don't know that they win another championship if they never. Look, Warriors fans, I appreciate the 2015-16 team. I do. I really do. The team with Harrison Barnes and Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and the evolution of the death lineup and things like that. But we have seen so much in this league that if you just stand pat, you do not get better. You only get worse, because if you're at the top of the league and you stay where you're at, the only thing that can happen is other teams catch up to you. We saw it with the Houston Rockets, by the way, recently. They had a math advantage with the amount of threes that they were taking, and they almost took out the Warriors that year just by the sheer volume of three-pointers they took. And what happened the next year? Every team adjusted. And the Rockets rolled it all back with Chris Paul, and they rolled it all back with PJ Tucker and James Harden and all these things, and they basically did just the same stuff over and over and over again, and they were not nearly as dominant. And James Harden did not win the MVP that time. So I don't think that you can stay where you're at and just assume that the titles are going to keep rolling in. I don't think that the Warriors would have won another championship with Harrison Barnes. They would have lost again to LeBron and the Cavaliers. And who knows? I mean, maybe at that point you probably have to make a move. And I don't know what kind of move they make for Harrison Barnes. That would be the guy. That would be the weak link. And Kevin Durant wouldn't be available. I mean, who knows? If you don't get Kevin Durant, where does he go? That's the thing that Warriors fans don't talk about. Okay, if not the Warriors, does he just go back and stay with the Thunder? Because if that's the case, we don't know that the Warriors even get back to the finals, guys. That Thunder team was good, and they almost took out the Warriors. Let's remember that, if not for Klay Thompson. The Thunder would have been in the finals. I actually think if Durant never goes to the Warriors, he wins more championships than the Warriors do in that time. Barring a crazy other move by the Warriors. So, I don't know. If you've watched Harrison Barnes over the last years, I don't think Harrison Barnes is a bad player. I just don't think he's anything close to Kevin Durant. And I don't think just because Kevin Durant left, we can all of a sudden just poo-poo what he did for the Warriors, because he was the guy that guarded LeBron James when it really mattered. And he was the guy that was hitting game-winning shots. And he was finals MVP for those two finals for a reason. And I think we need to keep that all in perspective, and also remember, if he doesn't play for the Warriors, where does he play? Because that team would be pretty damn good during those years too. You can remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Remember, you can always send mailbag questions to me at Twitter at WC Goldberg, or email me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. If you want to see them in print or online, that's also where you can send them. Thanks for listening.